need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, you can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, porn stars and porn fans, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex. We may or may not be children of God, Jesus, Allah, Buddha, Brahma, or the great MILF goddess in the sky. We don't know. But until we start cloning ourselves, we are all children of sex, with a capital X. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Can I hear an A, women?
A, women.
Thank you, AdultCon. I am just so happy to be here. It's my first AdultCon, so go easy on me. I'm a virgin. But not a virgin to much else, but definitely to AdultCon. And it's hotter than a Russian hooker party in a Trump Tower toilet. And you can be sure that Ted Cruz is watching and clicking like. Give me a heart, Ted. Come on. Retweet. Yeah. So, I'm here at AdultCon, and it's hot. And speaking of hot, I am wearing a beautiful Mademoiselle Elo latex dress. But we all know that latex needs lubing. So, ladies, come on up to the stage and lube me up. This is also part of my tantric preparation of enjoyment. This is my favorite part of the talk. This is Gypsy, and this is Jackie Blue. Oh, yeah, just a little bit goes a long way with that latex lube, girls. Yes, shine, baby. Oh, shine me up. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, beautiful. Ooh. Oh, lube me up good. And don't forget, you know, the back, the rear entry. Not the entry. We can't do that in the L.A. Convention Center. But thank you. Oh, and bananas. We got bananas also. We're living in a banana republic these days. So we might as well really kind of enjoy it, right? And we love bananas, right? Mm-hmm. So, just in case you don't know, I am Dr. Susan Block. The banana lady. Woo! That is, I am a sex therapist. Uh-huh. a chef of sex, so to speak. Yes, indeed, I know how to get the banana in the cream pie, if you know what I mean. Uh-huh, love it. But, of course, not every cream pie wants a banana, and not every banana goes in a cream pie. You know, so, hey, whatever your fare, I'll get you there. Because, you know, we cook it up. At the Dr. Susan Block Institute, we do. Bananas, pies, all kinds of cream. Oh, yeah. And, yes, this is a private practice that I've been in since 1991. And I can't tell you if Ted Cruz is a client. I wouldn't tell you who are my clients because it's very, very private and confidential. But I do have a more public side that some of you might be familiar with. That is, I do this radio, TV, and internet show, The Dr. Susan Block Show. Yay! And we've been doing it just about every Saturday night since, I mean, on TV since 1991. And maybe you recognize my HBO specials, right? Radio Sex TV, Radio Sex TV, Off the Dial. And some of you might remember staying up late to watch Real Sex on HBO when that was the closest thing to porn you could get in your house, right? Raise your hands if you watch Real Sex on HBO. All right, we got some oldsters here. Or unless you were watching it when you were kids and you weren't supposed to. But it was a very educational show. And we had our show, we still have our show, and we being me and my primate, my husband of 25 years, my prince, my producer, and yes, a porn publisher, a pioneer in the adult industry who published such seminal, or does that pronounce seminal? Okay, magazines as Love and Hate and Finger and the LA Star, Captain Max, aka Mickey Leblevich, Maximilian Lubkovitz. Yes, indeed. Yes, and Max and I have joined forces. Wow, it just seems like yesterday, but yeah. We got married in 92, and we love the porn industry. We just love porn stars. We have a whole bunch of them on the show, as you can see on our little postcard here. Oh, my goddess. Of course, our old friend, Ron Jeremy, and our other old friend, Nina Hartley, and Betty Page, speaking of old, but not even here anymore, but she was on in 96. And, oh, my goddess, Annie Boddy, Dumay, Axel Braun, who was the first man to make me squirt, along with his dad, the late, great Lassie Braun. And, Riley Reyes, who's a very sapiosexual reader of The Bonobo Way, and she's been on the show more recently, and very recently, last week, was Alex Moore. We need more of her. She had such great squirting orgasms on the Motor Bunny. And yes, these are some really, really very amazing, special people that have been on DrSusanBlock.tv, and a lot of them are here at AdultCon now. And they kind of remind me of a very special friend of mine named Lana, a voluptuous brunette who's got big brown eyes that sparkle as she flirts. And Lana loves to flirt. She has a couple of boyfriends, but Really, she enjoys her gal pals just as much, if not more, sometimes. And she loves all kinds of sex and sensuality, but she's a very strong female in her community and a leader, and very caring, empathetic, and compassionate. Really, she's like a lot of wonderful women here today. But Lana is not a woman, nor even a human being. Lana is a bonobo. And now I very gracefully go to my... Whoop. Here we go. And now, this will be faster and the real thing, meet the bonobos. Woohoo! The make love, not war, chimpanzees who swing through the trees as well as with each other. That's right. Now, if you don't know a bonobo from a banana, well, please allow me to introduce you to the long-lost kissing cousins that you didn't even know you had. As we try to figure out, what do bonobos know that we don't know about how to have great sex? That's right. That's the name of this talk, The Bonobo Way of Great Sex. And that's what the bonobos can teach us. You know, in a way, all kinds of animals can teach us a lot. That's why we love to watch those cute animal videos, not just because they're an escape, but because we're always learning about what animals know that we don't know. And there's probably quite a few things that we don't know that animals know, partly because humans like us, we kind of deny our animal nature. We don't think about it. We're so wound up in our devices and our big brains that very often we forget that we're animals. And this causes all kinds of havoc in our society, in our psychology, in our politics, in our ecology, and certainly in our sex lives. It's one of the reasons that so many of us don't have great sex. So it feels good, and it is good to release your inner animal every once in a while, you know, maybe a lot of time. It's great to release your inner animal, you know, and a lot of people are doing that here at AdultCon. Some people are releasing your inner pussy, woohoo, kitty, your inner cuck, cuckoo, your inner cock of the walk. Hey, it's the year of the rooster, according to the Chinese. So happy year of the cock. And then there is that inner ass. Yes. Whew, we are all animals, and we are all apes. And I'm not just talking about Ron Jeremy, although he is hairier than quite a lot of apes. But we are all apes, even us hairless porn stars, you know. And it helps to know this and to be able to release your inner apes. And yes, bonobos are apes, and all apes can teach us something about ourselves, but bonobos can teach us the most because they're really the closest. So, what do bonobos know about life, love, relationships, and great sex that we don't know? Well, first, here are five things we know about bonobos. One, Bonobos are very close to us, at least as close as common chimps, and some say even closer. They are over 98% genetically similar to us, and I'm sure all you genealogists and science marchers can appreciate that. But even you spiritual folks, you know, you look into a bonobo's eyes, and you can just kind of feel like you're seeing into the eyes of the missing link. It can be that close. And they are that close. That's right. Life in Bonoboville is very much like life in L.A., only with more hair and less hairspray. Right. So, laugh. Okay. I know you've heard that one before. But I'm fun. Bonobos are very close to us. All the apes are close to us. Monkeys are not so close. Anybody know the difference between apes and monkeys? Monkeys have tails. Very good, young lady. You get a banana. All right. Monkeys have tails, and they're just not as close to us. Bonobos are very close. Okay, so number two. Bonobos have a lot of sex. Yes, indeed. In quality and quantity, both. A lot of sex, a lot of great sex. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can I get an A women? Yes, indeed. In a multitude of positions, in a bonobo sutra of styles, bonobos do it. They do it doggy style, but not always. Sometimes they do it face to face. In the missionary position, like no other animal except human. And sometimes they look into each other's eyes, really, like a lot of us have to take long workshops to learn how to do. Look into each other's eyes like tantric sex practitioners or like two people very much in love. Yeah. And then sometimes they have sex like they're going for an AVN award, you know, hanging from the trees, doing it in groups. They're bisexual, or you could say pansexual. They're swingers. They're certainly polyamorous, which gives them all the more opportunities for great sex. Okay, number three, we're counting, right? Number three is females rule Bonoboville. Yes, indeed, a women. So, this is the only great ape culture in which the females actually have maybe a little more power than the males. They kind of share it, but the males usually let the females make a lot of the decisions about food and sex. The females gently but firmly kind of dominate the males, keeping them gentle and firm. It's true. And this is not just some kind of, fertile female kind of thing. First of all, bonobos hide their estrus just like humans. And MILFs rule Bonoboville. Yes, indeed. And that's no Kellyanne Conjab. They really do. That was another joke. I know you heard that last time. That's no Kellyanne Conjob. Okay. You know, I should call my friend Lana Mistress Lana, huh? Right. Okay. So, number four is no killing. That's right. Bonobos have never been seen killing each other in the wild or captivity. This is an amazing thing, and it probably has something to do with all the sex, right? They're the only great ape species that has never been seen killing each other. You know, common chimps do kill each other and make war. Of course, humans kill each other the most. Gorillas do it some, and bonobos don't do it at all. Yes, indeed, they make peace through pleasure, with a little bit of pain. Mm-hmm. And five. I talked about how the MILFs rule Bonoboville, the females rule. And number five is that the males are happy about it. These are very happy males. And studies have shown that these males stay younger longer than their grumpy old ape, common chimp counterparts. Yes, indeed, they're more relaxed. Hey, it's kind of clear as to why. Why do you think these males are so happy? They get laid a lot. Very good, Jackie. They do. They get laid a lot by confident, somewhat dominant, but very nice females, as well as by each other. That's right. Remember, bonobos are bisexual. So, you know, sometimes the banana doesn't go in the cream pie. Sometimes you got your two bananas together and you do penis fencing en garde, right? Or rump rubbing is one thing that these bonobo boys love to do to kind of calm down a little fight they might be having, or they might give each other a massage or a hug. And of course, sex. Lots of sex with a capital X. That's what helps bonobos to make peace through pleasure. It's amazing. And yet, it's true. This is not an alternative fact. This is a real fact. Bonobos don't kill each other. There are no Nazi bonobos. No KKK bonobos. And they have a lot of sex. They're kind of like the porn stars of the great ape world, right? So, could you be bonobo? Yeah? You think so? Let me see how you suck this banana, Jackie. Right. Let me see your bonobo style. Jackie's going to show us banana ingestion, bonobo style. That's right. Here she goes with her peel coming down. This is obviously an uncircumcised banana. And here, you can come up here so the Facebook, they can actually look at bananas. If that was a body part, they couldn't look. Oh, look at this. She is deep throating that banana. Whoa! That's pretty bonobo. Ooh. Well, the banana didn't break you, and now you can eat it. Let's hear it for Jackie and her banana swallowing abilities. That's amazing. Yes, indeed. So, you know, it's not just about sucking bananas. It's about all kinds of things that we're talking about today. But one thing that I feel pretty good about, you guys, being pretty bonobo or bonobo-esque, bonobo sapiens, is you're here at AdultCon. And so, you know, you've got to believe in the importance of great sex. And that is the number one step to having great sex. I mean, when the chemistry maybe wears off or it's just not so easy. Of course, anybody can have great sex when it's easy. But when it's not so easy, it takes prioritizing sex as important. So you're here at AdultCon. You must think great sex is important, at least to watch. Maybe not to do. But watching is a form of sex, in my opinion. And, you know, whatever your motivation, whether you believe in the importance of great sex because it feels good, you know, or because it's the only thing that turns you on, or because you think it's good for your health. It is.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, it is good for your health. Or because you feel it's good for society. Maybe you know something about the bonobo way, and you know that great sex could lead to peace through pleasure. And then again, maybe you appreciate great sex because it's good for business, as my pops would say. And listen, we're here, the porn business is all around us. And obviously, a great sex is an important part of this industry. So whatever your motivation, whether it's personal or political or economic, you know, great sex is not just about one thing. Don't be a purist about it, you know? Great sex is about so many things. It's about nature, it's about economics, it's about politics, it's about orgasms, it's about the body and the mind and the soul. And whatever floats your boat, the bonobos will support you. And no, I don't mean they're going to pay your rent. Actually, it's better than that. The bonobos are going to support you philosophically because, after all, there are so many forces kind of against you if you appreciate and honor and try to have great sex. Those forces could be in your government. They could be on the pulpit of your church or synagogue or temple. Those forces could be lying next to you in bed, refusing you or making fun of you, and not in a fun way. Yeah, those forces could be everywhere around you. And so it's important to have some support, especially when those forces come out with the killer ape theory, right? The killer ape paradigm is what a lot of anthropologists and cinematographers and lobbyists for the military-industrial complex and the prison-industrial complex, what these folks sort of trot out to explain why we need to throw a lot of money and support and effort into these projects, the military, the prisons, abusive police, why domestic violence is just something that happens. They say it's because we're all killer apes, because we're natural-born killers. They use that excuse for denigrating of sex workers. They use that excuse for penalizing porn stars, you know. They use that excuse for presidential pussy grabbing. Right. All kinds of excuses. But the killer ape, this idea that the stronger will prevail, must prevail, the law of the jungle, so to speak, even though bonobos are jungle creatures. This idea that that might makes right. Well, it does work for the winner trumps all culture of common chimps and baboons, who aren't even apes, they're monkeys with tails, and quite a few other apes and monkeys do go by the killer ape paradigm, although humans kill more than any other ape by far. But bonobos don't kill it all. Bonobos break the old paradigm and they create a new sex-positive, female-empowered, peace-through-pleasure paradigm that honors great sex, just like you do. That's right. And, you know, the bonobos don't have any murder. They have very little rape, by the way. Some people say they have no rape. No, they have a little, but it's nipped in the bud. They stop it. And they show us that there is another way and that it's in our DNA. It's not something we have to really force. In fact, maybe some of our killer ape attitudes and our military system and our prison system, those are the forced things that people who want to make money off of our weaknesses and our fears use against us. Yeah. So, bonobos are here to help you make sex great again, right? Because politicians shouldn't be the only ones screwing us. Hey, yeah, make sex great again. I mean, and I say that, you know, the whole make America great again is kind of like loopy, but a lot of people do need to make sex great again, especially if you're in a long-term relationship, because it's always easy in the beginning. But to make it last, to make it great again, that is the challenge. And bonobos can show us the way. That's right. We have a little example here of Charlie and Phoebe, a couple that came to the Institute because, hey, sex was great in the beginning. The chemistry was fantastic. They had great sex. And then, 8 years and 3 kids and a mortgage and 35 pounds of weight gain between the two of them later. And, you know, no sex, not much sex. And then not the kind of sex they wanted. And they came to the Institute for a little BLT. That's Bonobo Liberation Therapy, BLT, which is a lot more delicious than the sandwich. And Charlie and Phoebe would agree, because they really thought that they were growing apart. You know, they wanted different things out of sex. She wanted him to be more sensitive to her needs, not just to his needs. He was kind of selfish. On the other hand, he wanted her to be more aggressive in bed. She just lay there. She let him do all the initiating and the work. No wonder he was selfish, maybe. I mean, in a way, they felt like they were growing apart. But then when they came to the Institute and they started learning the bonobo way and watching the bonobos like you're doing now, they saw that the bonobo males are very sensitive. They learn this sensitivity from each other and from the females. And they learn that the bonobo females are very aggressive. And it works. It works. So they kind of let out their inner bonobo. And they did it right at the Institute. And of course, you know, it was a Saturday night, so we wanted to film them. We wouldn't do it without their permission. And of course, at first, Phoebe said, no, I can't be filmed. And I said, well, if you're concerned about being discovered, you could wear these masks. And then they put on the masks. And it was like, not only did they feel safe, but they felt like they were in another world. The mystery came back, like they were strangers again. And wow, they just let out their inner bonobos and had a great night of great sex that led to more. Sometimes you've got to just put that key in the ignition somehow. You got to kickstart it, you know, because people let their sex life just go and they think it's going to come back like Santa through the chimney, but it doesn't. You've got to bring it back, and then it will come back again and again, and bonobos bring it back again and again. And Now, yeah, they're having some great sex. It's not always great. Sometimes it's just good. But they're happy. Their kids are happy. They've lost 25 pounds between the two of them. And they have a new hobby, filming themselves while having sex. Yeah. And you know what? That is becoming the hobby of a lot of people. In fact, I think that a lot of people here today might have started that way, just filming themselves having sex. And then they go, well, maybe I'll post this, see if anybody likes it. Well, look at that. Not only do they like it, they love it, and they wow it. And, oh, my goodness, I could charge for it, right? Not bad. And, you know, it is all part of being a great ape for great sex. Because, yeah, we all like a little something for sex. I mean, or giving a little something for sex. Bonobos do it, too. They just do it with bananas. And we do it with Ben Franklin's, you know. So that whole business of paying for sex, everybody does it. All the animals do it. But the difference with bonobos is that the females often pick up the check. It's not just the males. That's because females have power. And we always wonder, why don't females pay for sex in our human society? And I don't know that we know what it might look like if females had the degree of sexual power and sexual kind of agency and confidence and support that bonobos have. Maybe females would be paying more. We certainly pay enough for therapy. So, yeah. So, a rainbow of people are opening up to their sexuality now with, of course, all the different ways we can film each other. It's fantastic, you know. The old days of porn, there were only certain types of porn stars. Now, just about any type can have an audience. And bonobos can support us all because they show us that it's not just the alphas that get laid. Everybody's got to get something, and that's what keeps the peace in the community. In a lot of these other great ape cultures, including human, sex is only reserved for certain people, for the rich or for the poor or for married people or for hetero people. You know, it's like bonobos give us that understanding of how important some kind of erotic activity is to all of us. And it doesn't always have to be, you know, PIV, penis and vagina, or banana in cream pie sex. There are so many kinds, a rainbow of kinds of sex. And the bonobo way paradigm of great sex supports the whole rainbow. Now, by the way, a paradigm is not a blueprint, okay? This doesn't mean that if you want to be like a bonobo, that you should swing from the trees or eat bugs like bonobos do, or have sex with everybody you know like bonobos do, although some of you might like that, like Jackie. But, yeah, it just means that you can get inspired by the bonobos in a more general way, and sometimes specifically, you should see how they give oral sex. They spend so much time on it. It can teach us a lesson or two about how much time is great to spend on foreplay. On the other hand, they don't spend that much time on regular intercourse. Go figure. So, it's a blueprint to inspire us in our pursuit of the bonobo way and in our creation and operation of our Bonobovilles. Bonoboville, right? What is Bonoboville? I keep talking about Bonoboville. So I define it in a couple of ways. One is Bonoboville is a group of bonobos. I call that a Bonoboville in the wild or at the zoo or at one of the sanctuaries. Their community I call a Bonoboville. I also call groups of people that are inspired by the bonobo way a Bonoboville. Like, we have a Bonoboville in West LA that some of you have visited. That's where we do the show, and we run the Institute, our therapy practice. We try to help people release their inner bonobo in all kinds of ways. And we cook, you know, and we have some four-legged bonobos, too, running around. And we have the occasional orgy, usually on a Saturday night when the porn stars are over. And that's our Bonoboville. And we support the real bonobos, which I'll get more to. So that's very important to our Bonoboville. But there are other Bonobovilles. I would call AdultCon a kind of temporary Bonoboville where people here can express themselves, I mean, within the limits of the convention center. There's always limits, right? I mean, our limits in Bonoboville have more to do with consensuality and sometimes with being professional. But here in AdultCon, you know, you have your limits of AdultCon, and yet it is a place where you can explore and express and investigate your sexual interests, your fetishes, your favorite porn stars, you know, and in a relatively shameless way. You know, our society, we're shamed so much by our religious leaders and our politicians for watching porn, for doing porn. And it's important to gather together with people. A lot of people can't do that. They're just too shy. They're too scared. They stay in the closet. I mean, there's so many people out there watching porn. Yes, I'm looking at you, Ted Cruz, like... And, yeah, you know, but it takes a lot of courage to get out there, whether you're being a porn star, getting out there, showing your body, really being a sex educator, because we don't have any explicit sex education in this world. So porn is basically an important part of sex education. And even if you're just a porn fan, that's important, too, that you come out and you support your favorite porn stars, your favorite porn directors. This is your Bonoboville. Support them. Be good to them. Vote for things that support them. So porn stars are, I mean, bonobos are kind of like the porn stars of the great ape world in a way. I mean, a lot of the primatologists and bonobo advocates get really mad at me, bad Dr. Susie, because I call them the porn stars of the great ape world. But they are. So, you know, they have a lot of sex. You even see them doing it in the zoo. And they even enjoy watching porn. That's right. Sometimes they like to watch their own porn, you know, watch on a TV or, you know, a device, other bonobos having sex. And sometimes they like to watch people having sex. Sometimes they like to watch interesting people like Kanzi, the famous bonobo. You may have seen him roasting marshmallows on YouTube or beating humans at video games. That's how smart bonobos are. But Kanzi has a fetish for human women in fur coats. It makes sense if you think about it. Yeah, so bonobos have fetishes. Bonobos... have, you know, like to watch, they like to be watched. They have a lot of these kind of characteristics that porn stars and porn viewers have. They're also swingers, of course. Swinging is really the name of the game. They're the original swingers. And it's interesting, bonobos love sex with friends. But even more than sex with friends, yes, yes, sex with friends is great and maybe the greatest. But I have to say, even more than sex with friends, bonobos love sex with strangers. They just love to have a meeting of tribes and get to know the new bonobos on the other side and have some sex, share some food, get to know each other. You know, they love that new relationship energy. That's what poly people call it. N-R-E. And, you know, they might get jealous over it if you've got a long-term relationship and then some bonobo's doing it with some new bonobo, but then you have ways of calming each other down, even compersion, yes, feeling good about your partner enjoying themselves with someone else. And bonobos are really very good at having great sex in long-term relationships, which I'm going to get to in a sec. But I just want to say, this whole idea that humans are afraid of strangers, I don't know. I think we're taught to be afraid of strangers. I think bonobos show us that deep inside we are excited by strangers. Maybe a little bit of fear. A little bit of fear is like spice in your enchilada. Now, too much spoils the meat, but a little bit is really good and makes you excited. The unfamiliar, the mysterious. But, of course, when our racist, xenophobic leaders tell us to be really afraid of the strangers and the foreigners and the others and people of different religions and so-called races, you know, that creates this very human-grown fear. And wouldn't it be amazing if we could get over that fear? Wouldn't that be an important step on the path of peace through pleasure? Just to be able to tap in to the bonobo love for the stranger. Yes, indeed. And it's part of us. It's in our DNA. So, long-term. Yes, indeed. Bonobos have great long-term relationships. They are, you know, not monogamous at all, but they have friends or prime mates that they are primarily with, that they just really love, and it can go for decades, and it's based on deep trust. So we can learn from bonobos about short term and long term, all of it. And yes, it all has something to do with trust. Professor Isabel Benck gives you an example of bonobos playing a trust game. And bonobos love to play. Humans love to play too, of course. But, you know, play gets a really bad rap in human society, like it's something kind of frivolous for kids. Bonobos know that play is very important, that play is an amazing and effective way to channel violent, difficult energies. And they have all these systems for doing it. And so in this one little scene, there's this one female bonobo who's got a male bonobo by his family jewels. And she's kind of clutching these jewels as they go around and around. And she's tapping them with her hand. She doesn't have a stick, but I have a stick. But yeah, she's kind of walking him around like this, and he's kind of going wherever she wants to go. And, you know, he's going along with it because, well, he's horny, and he just hopes that there's sex at the end of this deal. Or maybe he's titillated because of the risk involved. After all, she could just rip them off. Now, if she ripped them off, he has fangs, which the females lack, and he could always attack her. There's a lot of potential for violence here, but the violence doesn't happen because he gives her trust and she takes that and she honors that. She plays with him. She doesn't hurt him. And by the end of their little rondelay, she's got her man by the balls and they have sex. And so he gets something out of the deal. And she does. She gets to have sex on her terms. What gives her so much confidence? After all, she doesn't have the fangs. And she's not as big as him. Well, that's a good, important question that is a very, very key aspect to the bonobo way of great sex. Anybody know why our bonobo girl is confident? You can say it. She's got the pussy. Well, you know, she does have the pussy, but that's true in all species. And females are not always so confident. A lot of females are very nervous about males. Males do a lot of raping of pussies. But this female, this bonobo female, is not too worried about rape. She's pretty confident. And the reason is her girlfriends are nearby. Female solidarity. The bonobo ladies stick together. They don't go foraging on their own like common chimp females. They're two females at once, and they can defeat a male if he decides to attack. And then if there's three, well, it's girls' night out. And the females rule. And that is a key to females ruling Bonoboville, is that female solidarity. It's an important lesson for us to learn, because so often our society does try to pit women against each other in so many ways. It's kind of like sisterhood, but the funny thing is these bonobos are not even sisters. They're not biological sisters, that is. They migrate at puberty, so they are like strangers who move in with each other and become friends. How do they become friends? How do they become so close? Does anybody know? What do you think? Sex! Great sex. That's right. Some of the greatest sex in Bonoboville is female-female. The females kind of suck up to each other in order to establish this female camaraderie, and they do this activity that the primatologists call genital rubbing or Gigi rubbing, though I prefer the Mugandu people who call it hoka hoka, because it sounds like the bonobo tango. And in a way it is. It's except instead of slow cheek to cheek, it's kind of fast vulva to vulva action. This went off. So I don't know if we can get this started again. Can we do that? Abe, can you come out and get it started again just for a few more minutes? Because I love the sound of bonobos chirping and hooting. Yes, so hoka hoka. Oh, yeah, baby. Bonobo gals twerk for peace. Yes, indeed. They sure do. And hoka hoka lubricates life in Bonoboville. It really does, in a physical way and in a social way. It's one of the reasons that females are always ready for sex. They're constantly diddling themselves. You know, females tend to need more of a warm-up, right? Human females and bonobo females both need more of a warm-up. So bonobo females are always warming each other up. And sometimes it's not to have sex with the boys. It's just to do it with each other. They're constantly diddling themselves, which does also remind us of another kind of time-honored porn-watching activity. Masturbation. That's right. As George Carlin said, if God had intended us not to masturbate, he would have made our arms shorter. Maybe in Bonoboville we say she, but in any case, we agree with that estimation of God or the goddess. You know, we have these hands. It's true, dogs have to rub up against things. We've got the equipment to enjoy ourselves, and we should not listen to those voices of sanctimony and hypocrisy that tell us that it's bad for us. I mean, if you're getting skin abrasions, okay, you know, or if you've got to go to the hospital with something stuck up your rectum, don't put any animals up there, okay? When I talk about your inner animal, I don't mean gerbils up there. Other than that, the normal level of masturbation or even some level of extreme masturbation, hey, it's okay, especially in this society which restricts our sexual activity so much. No wonder we want to masturbate so much. It doesn't mean we're abnormal. It just means we're not getting the sex that our bodies and souls crave. And yes, it cools you out. Bonobos channel violent urges into consensual erotic play. And of course, masturbation is consensual because, I mean, you're consenting with yourself. and keep in mind, bonobos are not completely nonviolent. Some people try to say, oh, wait, they're violent. Yes, they can be violent, and they eat meat, sometimes very little. They're not vegan, okay? But they eat mostly vegetables and fruits, but a little bit of meat. And they can smack each other and hurt each other. They just stop before they kill each other. They have that level of consciousness, which makes me feel really hopeful about us. Because, you know, bonobos are not angels. They're animals, just like us. So I think that we can go bonobos, you know? And it's certainly worth a try. Absolutely. One book spanking at a time. That's right. At universities, I do book signings. But at DomCon, I did book spankings. I'll do some book spankings here at AdultCon, I think. And sometimes that helps to release your inner bonobo. You know, you spank it out of you. Read the bonobo way or get spanked by it. Right. Be well read or get well read. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it can be that that spanking releases your inner bonobo, or swinging, or fetishes, or just watching porn. There are so many ways to release your inner bonobo. Sometimes there are ways that maybe, you know, some people don't define as sex. Shopping. right. Then there are the money slaves. There are all kinds of ways that we define sex in our society because our society is so anti-sex. A lot of our fetishes come out of that, but not all. A lot of fetishes just come out of the natural life, like bonobos. So in the book, we have the 12 steps to releasing your inner bonobo. And these are very detailed. It's very important to read the book and get an understanding of how to release the inner bonobo within you, within your partners. And, you know, it's not always sexual within people around you. So I'm just going to run through a real quick version of the 12 steps, but you really should read the book for the full effect of great sex. So number one, see the bonobos. You are doing that right now, but it's even better when you do it in person. Number two, be a bonobo. That's right. Fantasize that you're a bonobo. It's not so difficult. This is the first level to releasing your inner bonobo, is to do it in your mind. And it's not always that you are a bonobo. Maybe you want to fantasize that you're the so-called opposite sex. Or maybe you want to fantasize that you're doing something that you stop yourself from doing. That can be releasing your inner bonobo. Three, go bonobos in bed. It's good to have a lot of imagination, but you got to take it into the bedroom. You know, do it like a porn star. That's right. Number four, outer course is in. So you don't always have to do it like a porn star. Bonobos spend a lot of time on outer course, not always on the going in, you know, and you could too, and it would be great sex. That's often the way, especially females, have more orgasms, is from outer course activities. Certainly for foreplay. Five, mix food and sex. Well, this is one where you may not want to use the bonobos as a total blueprint. You know, romantic dinner, sometimes it can cause indigestion. But hey, mixing a little whipped cream with your banana, makes it that much more delicious. So, yeah, mix food and sex. Six, explore the so-called opposite sex within you. The sexes are not really opposite. Men are not from Mars and women are not from Venus. We're all from Earth, and we're far more alike than we're different. But our society puts a lot of differences on us. As we can see among bonobos, females can be aggressive, But in our society, sometimes we feel if we want to be aggressive, we've got to act macho. And as we see in bonobos, males can be very sensitive. But in our society, we often feel, oh, you've got to be a sissy if you're a male and you want to be sensitive. Anyway, there are different ways to release your inner bonobo through exploring the opposite sex within you, so-called opposite. Seven, probably the most important, make peace through pleasure. Hey, with the orange plume baboon and his whole family of baboons, and by the way, with sincere apologies to baboons who aren't as bad as these guys in the White House, it's more important than ever that we learn about bonobos, learn how we can release our inner bonobo to handle what's going on in our world and make peace through pleasure before it's too late. And they blow us all up. So, eight, practice ethical hedonism. Yeah, you don't have to go to church or synagogue or temple. Really, ethics feels good. Doing good feels good. The bonobos show us that. Be bonobo friendly is number nine. And number 10 is create your own bonoboville or support a bonoboville. Support your porn community. Support legislation that's pro-sex and pro-female. 11, swing through life. Very, very important in these days of cataclysmic upheaval. Political problems and environmental craziness and relationship problems. We have to know how to swing, not just at swing parties, although that is fun, but just swinging from one branch of our lives to another. And number 12, this is my favorite, the most important, save the bonobos, because they are highly endangered. And if we lose the bonobos, then we lose our key to the great ape way of great sex. So we've got to save them. And we can save them because they're being killed by hunters with guns, and we just have to stop the hunters from shooting them. And our Bonoboville supports groups like Lolia Bonobo, Bonobo Conservation Initiative, and the Bonobo Project, which gave me my bracelet, I Bonobo You, I Love You. And, call us up. Look up blockbonobofoundation.org for more information about how you, too, can help to save the bonobos. Because, hey, the bonobos are very reciprocal. They are the masters and the mistresses of sharing and reciprocity. And if we save them, they will help us save ourselves and have great sex. So, thank you very much. And now I will theoretically take questions and give book spankings and theoretically, yes, you have a question. You mean their natural habitat is in the Congo. And yes, I forgot that part of my lecture. I should have said that. But they live in the rainforest, the second largest rainforest in the world, which is in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And there's terrible mining and logging going on there that really degrades the rainforest. And there's bushmeat hunting that actually kills the bonobos. So our friends in Lolia Bonobo are saving the orphans. Our friends in Bonobo Conservation Initiative are helping the villagers to defend their bonobo populations against the hunters. And that's the answer to your question. And they also live in zoos. Okay, any other questions? Okay, no questions?
Is there
an estimate about how many bonobos are around? Well, yeah, and that fluctuates so much that we have to just say a few thousand. Anywhere from 2 to at the most 10,000, which is not a lot. And it's hard to judge because you've got to go into war-ravaged territory to count them, and they hide a lot. Although usually you can tell you're in bonobo territory when you feel poop on your head.
I have another
Yes. They have one baby at once. These don't, they're not taking fertility drugs, these bonobos. They have one at a time, and they rarely have more than two or three babies in their lifetime. I mean, in zoos, they kind of force them because they want to try to increase their populations. I have mixed feelings about that. But really, there are innate understandings of birth control, and probably humans are best suited to only have one or two or three babies per female. When we have 10 and 12, that's really pushing it on the female, her body, pushing it on the sex life. I mean, yeah, you're having sex to have the babies, but that's about it. No sex just for pleasure. And also puts a lot of wear and tear on Mother Earth, having all those babies. So we should learn from the bonobos a little bit about population control as well. I think the important lesson that bonobos teach us is that sex is not just about procreation, it's about recreation and relationships, and that that is as important. Yeah, good. You got all kinds of questions. No. No, there is no family unit in Bonoboville. It's a group unit. And you know, one of the reasons that all the males don't murder the babies is that they don't know which ones are theirs. Gorillas always know. So gorillas they commit infanticide. They don't commit a lot of violence, but gorillas do commit infanticide. If the alpha male dies and then another male comes in, he'll kill all the babies, and then he'll mate with the females and have his own babies. But all those babies are dead. So bonobos, they don't know who sired which babies. So they all kind of act like uncles, like really cool uncles. Yeah, I mean, the baby, you know, very much belongs to the female. And like I said, the females migrate. So the daughters go out of the community and go to another community. And this is one of the reasons there's very little incest problem, is that the fathers are not doing it with their own daughters because their daughter migrated. I've heard of that. I don't know if that goes on in the wild. They certainly have done that in zoos. So they can do that. But and generally they do. And that is a status thing. You if you lose your mom, you lose some status. It's, you know, a little bit of a problem if you're an orphan in Bonoboville without a mom, that is. Yeah, they'll take you on. They won't leave you to die, but you'll have a low status in that society. Because if the mom is powerful, she's going to kind of give more status to her children, especially her son. And see, this is how the boys get laid, is they have a nice mom who has all these friends that she's doing hoka-hoka with. And she goes, oh, come meet my boy. Isn't he nice? And then, you know, the girls start having sex with her son. And that's really, the mom is like the pimp for her son. And the moms don't tend to have sex with the sons, but they tend to be the pimp, the one that sets it up with their friends and with the new girls in town. There's a lot of what? A lot of MILF action, yes. I mean, the young girls get in on it too. But the MILFs definitely are ruling. And that's no Kellyanne con job. No, they do. It's amazing because in our society, you know, MILFs, I mean, it's a fetish and a lot of people like MILFs, but in general, older women are considered like expendable, not relevant. But in bonobo society, I guess that's one of the reasons they have peace through pleasure, is these older women do have a function, and their function is to keep the peace and to help the girls and to help the boys and kind of make it all happen. And maybe they're not having babies anymore, but they are still engaging in sex, because in Bonoboville, sex is not just about procreation. So you're not an old has-been just because you don't have babies anymore. Interesting question. They seem to, with their dead, they mourn. I mean, there was even a video I saw that really sort of looked like a funeral when it was in a sanctuary, and they were taking a bonobo who died out of the area. And one bonobo in particular, who was his prime mate, but not his only mate. All the females loved this. This was a male bonobo. But one in particular just would not let the keepers take the body away for like a day. She kept mourning and crying out, and the other bonobos would come by and pay their respects, and definitely had a sense that she was his best friend and she deserved respect. So it was kind of a funeral. They definitely have an awareness of death as being something, unlike dogs who will eat your face if you are dead. All right, well, I'm so glad you're all interested, and you can find out more by taking our postcards and keeping in touch with us through Bonoboville, the community, watching our shows on drsusanblock.tv. Give us a call. It's all very private and confidential at the Institute if you need some personal help. 213-291-9497. We won't tell. And you know, support the bonobos. Support some of these organizations, because if we lose the bonobos, we lose a key to understanding, to having this great ape, great sex paradigm that gives us so much support in our sex-positive lives. And we need it here, out here in AdultCon, because there's so many forces against us, so many, in the White House, in places of religion, in the internet, you know, everywhere. So let's support our bonobos and make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you.
Talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves. But my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo. And help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.